Dear Jesus, we do confess our sin to you. God, I ask that you would continue to reveal our sin to us. I pray, God, that you would break our hearts. I pray, God, that you would break my heart with the things that I just confessed to you. Lord, that I would take them seriously. God, so often in my words, I'll confess I need to work on something when the words I really need to say is I need to stop doing something. When I say I need to work on something, it almost gives it a feeling like, well, it's not that important. If I get better, I get better. And progress is everything. A little bit here, a little bit there. God, I pray that I would take my sin seriously and say I need to stop. Jesus, I do ask that you would minister to us this morning. God, with both conviction, but also, God, an overwhelming, overpowering sense of your grace and the peace that comes with forgiveness and the assurance of victory, God. Jesus, we thank you so much. We ask this in your name. Amen. Well, as we continue on, and the first thing we looked at is the first thing that Paul talked about that we read in 1 Corinthians 11. It was that of the bread. It was that of the bread, and Paul, as he writes, he says, "Delivered to you the Lord Jesus, the night which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" The bread, it's the body of Jesus. It represents the body of Jesus. It represents the life of Jesus. And it represents the victory of Jesus. Don't forget that the life of Jesus was his victory over the power of sin in his life. He had to have that victory before he could go to the cross and shed his blood for the forgiveness of sin. He had victory over the power of sin in his life. Sin could not touch him. That's why the temptation was so important and why it was so exhausting for him. Jesus came in a real body. He lived a real life. And he experienced, as the writer of Hebrews says, he was tested in all things as we are, yet without sin. And you might want to rehearse this sometime. How are you tested? How are you tempted? How are you tempted to rebel against God and sin? How are you tempted to doubt God and not believe God? Because let's be real honest here. Here's a little freebie. When we disobey God in rebellion, that is sin. When we doubt God and refuse to trust God, that is equally sin. It's equally sin. Jesus, in his body, in his flesh, had complete victory over that sin. And we talked about this a couple weeks ago in 1 Peter. It said that he suffered. He left us a path of suffering to follow. And what did it say? He kept in trust. And he didn't revile in return when he was being reviled. He didn't offer up threats when he was suffering. But he kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. That was just as much an act of obedience to God. The Father, I'm going to trust you, that you will judge me rightly when I die on the cross. That was just as much an act of obedience as him obeying to the letter all of the requirements of righteousness and holiness. And as we celebrate his life by taking the bread, we need to remember that we need to live accordingly. And what is that? Well, we looked at that a little bit last week. Acts chapter 20. Verse 28. In verse 21, he talked about preaching repentance. Solemnly testify both Jews and Greeks of repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus. Well, What is the faith that flows out of repentance? What does that look like? Verse 28, be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock. Verse 31, be on the alert. To live accordingly is to be on guard for sin in our lives. To be alert for sin in our lives. Knowing that sin is going to come, Satan is going to attack you, and he's going to bring you all manner of opportunities to live in rebellion and to doubt God. Paul said, be on the alert, be on your guard. And we can take active steps that way with assurance. Why? Because we trust Jesus that he was victorious over sin. We can be victorious as well. And how are we victorious? We understand and know what sin is. His word tells us. We understand the power of sin to separate us from God. We understand the devastating effects of rebellion and lack of trust towards God. And to be on guard, it means taking responsibility. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock. We're going to, I'm getting ready to take the bread. We're going to spend a little bit of time now. And we need to celebrate accordingly. We've just confessed our sin. Now, as we go through this, if God brings more sin up, don't go, well, we've already had our time of confession. No confession. No. If God brings it up, confess it again. Talk about repentance again. But here, now that we've repented, we've identified the sin in our life and laid it before God, we can celebrate accordingly. We can celebrate the fact. We can celebrate by giving thanks to God. Jesus, thank you. And committing our devotion and being devoted to Him. And the fact that He was victorious over sin for us. And empowers us to live accordingly. We can ask Him to keep us alert to sin in our lives. That's a celebration. Celebrate the fact between you and God. And this you can pray together with your family, together with your friends. You can celebrate the fact and tell Jesus, thank you. You are victorious. You bore up under the full weight of sin on my behalf so that I can be victorious with the sin in my life. And the power that comes from your life and your resurrection. And I can see it, I can understand it, and I can live it. We're going to, Steve, come up, and Rose, come up. We're going to sing. We're going to sing some praises to the Lord. Because He was victorious over sin, and we can too. Feel free to sing. Feel free to just enjoy the music and spend time with God if you want to. And when you're ready, come up and take the bread. We're going to do a little things different. Normally we take them both at the same time, go back to our seats. We're going to do one at a time this time. So when you come up, take the bread and take it back to your seat when you're ready. When you've worshiped, when you've celebrated, when you've talked to God and you're satisfied, you can come up and get the bread and go back to your seat, and then we will take it together. Let's worship. Paul said, the Lord Jesus, in the night which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Jesus, we take this now with thankful hearts, celebrating your victory over the power of sin in your life. And Jesus, we thank you that through you, we have that same victory. In your name, Jesus, amen. Let's take it together. The elements continue, as you know, from the bread to the cup. He said, in the same way, in the same manner, with that same the thanksgiving, the humility, he took the cup also after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. It's the new cup. I mean, the new covenant. There was the old covenant. The covenant that was given, the Mosaic covenant, which was all about the keeping of the law and obedience to the law. And if you didn't obey the law, you had to have a sacrifice made on your behalf. If the nation did not keep the law, and ultimately they didn't, they would be disciplined by God. The law, the old law, the old covenant was given to demonstrate God's holiness and mankind's sinfulness. That's why it's so important for us to maintain an understanding of the Old Testament law today. Because it reminds us, I cannot be righteous and holy on my own. The New Covenant says, I know you're sinners. And I'm paying for that. I'm providing for you righteousness you can't have on your own. Jesus, it's His righteousness. And just as it says, the Old Testament taught it, the New Testament teaches it, the Old Testament religious system demonstrated death for sin. The entirety of the Old Testament worship and religious service was centered around death. Death for sin. It was awful. It was messy. It was smelly. It was disgusting. And it was ongoing. I mean, think about it. As a family, you raise up this little lamb. It's perfect. And it's spotless. And you love it. You nurture it. You care for it. And the reason you're doing that is so one day you can take it and have it slaughtered. Slaughtered mercilessly on your behalf. That is awful. And that's what God wanted us to know. Sin is awful. But also, the old covenant pointed forward to one day, one would come, the Lamb of God who would take away the sin of the world, that one day Messiah would come and He would mercilessly be slaughtered on my behalf. The New Covenant celebrates that day. The day that Jesus was born, the days of His life, culminating in the day of His death. When His blood was shed, He died for me. And here's where Paul kind of gives us an understanding of how important this is for us and our relationship. In Acts 20, verse 28... Be on guard for yourselves, for all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood. The purchase price for us to be bought out of slavery to sin into a relationship with God was the blood of Jesus. When at salvation, a transaction, an actual financial transaction takes place. The picture is of a slave being on the slave block, on the trading block, and someone comes up and what's the price? What's the price for that one right there? The price is named and the person says, I'll pay it. And when that person pays the price for the slave, they own that slave. I'm not going to mince words. We're not going to make this all nice and cute and feel good. We were slaves to sin. Jesus says, what's the price? God said, the price is your death. And Jesus said, I'll pay it. I will pay it in full. Jesus, in dying on the cross, bought us. Jesus owns us. As we celebrate accordingly, when we take the cup, the very first part of celebration is recognizing with joy that we belong to God. We belong to God. That is a cause for celebration. That's a cause for joy, because everything God does is perfect. It's for His glory, and His glory always includes our good. The two are never exclusive, ever. The whole thing of all things work together for good to those who are called according, those who are called according to His purpose. That's the assurance that whatever you're going through in life, whatever happens to you, good will result from it, because that's God's promise. Even your sin, in redeeming it, God will bring about good in your life. Now that, okay, Paul has very strong words. Let's not miss this. Romans 6, he says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He uses a Greek word in response to that, that is as close to the equivalent of a Greek expletive that you can come. He says, What may we say then? That we shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? I won't say the word, but heck no. No way. But in the redemption of God, He brings good out of our lives, the entirety of our lives. We celebrate that. We celebrate it by, God, you own me. Because I know you love me, I joyfully submit to you. And Jesus, I worship you and I praise you because you paid my price. You paid a price, and let's be real honest, folks. You can pay your own price for sin. Yes, you can. You know what the price for sin is that you can pay yourself? Eternity in hell. That pays the price. That satisfies God's wrath. That satisfies God's holiness. That satisfies all of God. You rejecting Him and spending eternity in hell. You can pay your own price. Jesus took the full wrath of God on Himself to pay the price for you. I can't afford to pay the price. That's a debt I don't want to go into. I've had a debt for a house before. I've had the debt for a car before. Okay, I'll take on those debts. That's one debt I'm not standing up for. There's no credit card that can pay that debt. He paid it for me. Worship Him. Celebrate that with joy as we continue to sing. And just when the song is over, we'll take the cup. And come up as you're ready, as you celebrate, as you worship the Lord. We're going to sing and praise Him. And then we'll take the cup together as an act of worship and an act of joy for what God has done for us. Let's continue. As Paul wrote, he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me, for as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." Until Jesus comes and we are with Him, this is our source of forward-looking joy. Because our life is filled with sin. Our life is filled with pain. But the blood of Jesus cleanses us. The blood of Jesus cleanses us. And we find forgiveness and mercy and grace in His presence. Jesus, we thank you in your name. Let's take the cup together.